Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Johnny Tan, the author of From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living. I'm your host for this morning talk show, and we will be spending the next hour on the air honoring moms everywhere for their positive contribution in making a positive difference in our lives. And the number to call in this morning is 347-327-9995. The number again is 347-327-9995 if you would like to join us live on the air. I am broadcasting from Dallas, Texas. It is chilly, 49 degrees here. I don't know where you guys are at, but appreciate you joining me this morning. And for those of you who would be having a live chat with us this morning, please type in. My assistant, Emily, will be managing the live chat session for me this morning. And for those of you who are new to this show, let me give you a quick rundown of how we conduct this show. We basically divide this show into three segments, since I'm going to be inviting you guys here into my mama's kitchen. The first segment is going to be the appetizing segment, and this is where I will be introducing our special guest for the week. And then we will move on into the second segment, which is the main entree. Here's where we will be discussing the topics or topics for the day. The third segment is the dessert segment, and this is where the guests will have an opportunity to give us a recipe for living, or basically sharing their recipes for living with us and helping us understand, I guess, living life the best way we know how. And so just wanted to let you guys know what's going on. And then, of course, finally, at the end of the show, like everything else, hey, you know, after eating, guess what? It's washing the dishes segment. And here's where I am going to be thanking the special guests and give you guys a quick rundown about the upcoming shows in the following weeks and also the latest future events that's going to be coming on. I see that Emily is with me this morning. Emily, can you hear me?
I can. How are you?
Fantastic. Good morning to you. And it's kind of chilly out there, isn't it?
It is, just a little bit.
Oh, good.
For April, I guess. So it must be in April.
I know. It's. I know that I was riding around this weekend, and I saw the Dallas Bloom is going to be in session. I think it starts this weekend, or maybe perhaps last weekend. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, I think it did start, yeah.
Yeah, so I think I'm kind of excited about that, to have the opportunity to check out Dallas Blooms. This morning I'm going to have my progressive and spiritual mom joining us from Hammond, Louisiana. She should be coming on the air shortly, and I know you are managing our live chat with us. So for those of you, again, who are interested in a live chat, please go ahead and type in what your questions are and your comments, and Emily will be more than happy to handle the live chat for you. And if I have a chance to answer your questions on the air today, I will certainly do that. If not, I will certainly cover that next week. And just to kind of give you guys a quick rundown, if you guys are looking for some additional updated information, please go by to my check out my personal blog, johnnytan.com, and also the my book's website, which is from mymamaskitchen.com. And you can also follow me on Twitter, and that will be just Twitter at From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. That is FMMK Talk Radio. And for those of you who would like to be a guest on this show, please email me at host@talkradio.com, which is host@frommymamaskitchen.com, fmmktalkradio.com. We would love to have to hear from you, comments about the show, as well as joining us for future shows. Quick rundown about who my guest is today. I met my progressive and spiritual mom, and I emphasize that because she's really interesting. She's very contemporary, but yet very spiritual in her own ways. Elsa May is 91 years old, just celebrated her birthday a couple of months ago. And she and I met each other in the spring of 1987 in Hammond, Louisiana, through a friend at a business meeting. And even though at that time she has already been retired for a few years, she has always been involved with organizations that are people-oriented. And her, what fascinates me about her is that her ability to conduct herself with just about everyone. Her people skills are really fascinating, and her greatest assets is her way to see beyond the eye, so to speak, and she's able to articulate herself without compromising her beliefs and principles, and is always with a touch of wisdom. And what I enjoy about her is that over the years, she is the only mom that I have out of my nine moms, believe it or not, that remembers to call me on my birthday. And actually, she calls me at 12:01 in the morning of my birthday to wish me happy birthday. And I thought that was something very special. As you can see, we have known each other now close to 20 years, and it's a fascinating lady, very, very nice. To some, she is such a sweet Southern lady. To me, she has this beautiful aura of Southern lady that everyone would like to have as a grandma. We talk quite frequently. She always has some very astute, practical advice. Perhaps she's been living long enough to have seen it all and hear it all, and so she's very excited about life in itself. And you guys will soon meet her on the air. She's due to join me in about, I would think, about 5 minutes or so. And in the meantime, I just wanted to kind of give you a rundown about some of the recipes that that I've recorded in my book for My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living. And by the way, for those of you looking for this book, it is currently available at barnesandnoble.com as well as amazon.com. And you can also go to my website, frommymamaskitchen.com and johnnytan.com, and click on buy the book, and it will direct you to amazon.com and barnesandnoble.com. Anyway, Elsa May, coming back to Elsa May here, she, in many of the things that she and I have talked over the years, what's fascinating about it is that I've always remembered this part. In a real-life situation, happiness is always felt by the heart rather than by the mind, a thought of the mind. Although we choose to be happy, ultimately, we still need to feel happy. And I thought that was really cool because, you know, nowadays you hear a lot of things about, oh, yeah, you know, all you need to do about is just to think to be happy. Sure, we can all think to be happy, but ultimately, are we feeling happy? And that is something that's very, very different, because I think it's really bringing the, what I would suggest or call or refer to actually as the human factor, where in everything that we do, if we approach it with a heartfelt passion towards everything in life, and we pull in the human factor into the equation, I feel that it totally changes the dynamics a little bit. It creates a certain energy of collaborative partnership that truly, to me, creates the individual ownership of a shared vision, and I think that's a little bit different. And I know, Emily, you have read my book, and you know, from your thoughts, and I know you shared that with me in terms of what your feelings are, but having just heard what I said about the, in a real-life situation, happiness is always felt by the heart rather than a thought of the mind, what are your thoughts about it?
I agree with what you're saying. I think that happiness is a state of mind, and, you know, you feel what you feel inside. If you're having a bad day and you feel that in your head, then you're going to project a bad day. So if you're feeling happy inside, I think that radiates off people, and almost happiness is almost contagious.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, well, that's, you know, you'd be surprised on, I think sometimes, I mean, we all try our best to think, and then, are we feeling it? That's a different concept, I guess, in some ways for people to relate. But one thing I enjoy about talking to Elsa May over the years is that she always have something positive to say. She always have this thing about, okay, you are here, you are now, what are you going to do about it? Are you feeling okay? Are you feeling good? Are you feeling, how you feel? And she always bring the human element into the thought process, which I thought was very interesting, because we can sometimes let our mind run wild without interjecting any feelings into it. Now, to some people say, well, that's not practical. We have to be astute about thinking. And I think that's true. But at the same time, if you inject the human element into it, it kind of softens everything else up. And so that's what I think is interesting about it. And I'm waiting for her to call in here. So I just wanted to see one of the things that I enjoy being with her is that we have, whenever I'm in Hammond, Louisiana, we'll go out and eat at this Chinese restaurant called Trey Yan. And in one of the many meals that we have at Trey Yan, something very interesting came up, and that was recipe number 5 that I've written down in the book, where having a balance of recipes. I'm sorry, it's not recipe number 5, it's actually recipe number 3, which is something interesting about fortune cookies. And Elsa May has a wonderful way of being pragmatic but practical about life, and the way she presents it. She has this thing about saying that whenever we read our fortune cookies, and I don't know about you like Chinese, I know you like Chinese food because I've seen you eating Chinese food. So, but anyway, she says that she explained in the sense that our mood and our present circumstance have a lot to do with how we have our final take on our fortune that we receive, and that even though the fortune cookies manufactured, you know, in the factory, and that the fortune messages are generated by computer and put in the cookies by machines, but ultimately we have picked out our fortune cookies at random, and so there's a little touch of mystifying touch of you know, of the unknown there, and kind of add a little different twist to everything. And so I'm kind of very you know, it's sort of a different way of looking at it, and I thought it was really, really cool. And when I, in writing this book, when I wrote that recipe in there from my mom Elsa May, it sort of reminded me, because I had got one time a recipe, a fortune cookie, that says that genius does what it must and talent does what it can. And that phrase reminded me about what my mom in Malaysia told me a long time ago when I first started working. And it, and basically what she said was, there's a seed of greatness in every one of us. And this seed of greatness holds the key to our successes. The genius in us helps us to identify our goals, dreams, and desires. And the talent in us helps us to accomplish them with a heartfelt passion. And so it's quite interesting how everything ties in. And she also did say, though, I mean, she reminded me that, you know, just because we have this seed of greatness does not guarantee our greatness and successes. Is what we do with it that ultimately determines our successes, and it makes a lot of sense, because we can be very, we can be equipped with a lot of things, but not to say we're going to be successful. We're just going to sit down on the sideline and not participate. I noticed that Elsa May is online right now. Hello, Miss Elsa. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I don't know if I'm fine or not, though.
Well, thank you for joining us.
The weather's threatening. I might have to stay in all day.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I'm really glad you're joining us this morning. I've been telling people on the air about you a little bit, how we met and everything else, and sharing with them about some of the recipes that that I really enjoyed writing about what you taught me over the years. And I mentioned also that the fact that you're my only mom that called me on my birthday, which I thought was kind of interesting.
I think birthdays are important, though, and I think we should all be cognizant of that. I love birthdays. Of course, I'm, the thing of it is, I'm having too many now.
That's right. I'm doing this on the air now. happy birth, 91st birthday to you in January. And actually, I need to do this. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Miss Elsa. Happy birthday to you. I mean, it's, you know, do you realize that we've known each other over 20 years?
I didn't realize it was that long. Golly gee.
Yeah, we met in 1987. Personal friend Fern Hyde introduced us, so it was kind of exciting. And since then,
yeah,
we just played.
But do you remember what we were doing?
We were in a business function together, and
But what were we doing?
Nothing.
We were selling cosmetics.
That's right. That's right.
We had some wonderful cosmetics that we were offering people.
That's right. You guys were doing that, and it was kind of fascinating. It was interesting. And
money in it, too. We needed to have something that involved currency.
No, I know. It's amazing. It is when you meet different people at different times, and it just kind of click. And
yeah.
it's just fascinating. And I was telling everyone that while waiting for you to come online about the, you know, every time when I'm in Hammond, Louisiana, we'll go to Trey Ann and have Chinese food. I know how much you like Chinese food. And I talked about one of the things that many things that you and I have discussed about fortune cookies and how that, you know, that was kind of fun that I wrote it in the book about.
Well, I remember I made a trip to San Francisco when I was still working.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came back, everyone was so excited about what I brought. And it was a big bag of fortune cookies. Everyone reached in to get. And you know, it's an anticipation thing. Because
right.
You say, and you don't take more than one. You take one because that's what you're supposed to know, that one is your fortune, not
right.
two or three.
Mhm, mhm. I always cheat though, because if I don't like the first one, I always say, "Well, you know, that's the past."
Can't do that. Can't do that. That's not the way to do it. Not right. And
no,
that's why, if you notice, for dessert, when you go, you get one per person.
I know that.
You don't get four or five for
I know that.
Dessert.
I know that. No, but that's true, though. That's very, very true. But I like your analogy about that, about the fortune. And also, you talk about the mood. I mean, you know, how we feel, and that's how we have to just read it with an open mind and just kind of, it's something funny and, you know, sort of remind us, you know, where are we at today. And I think one of the things also that I shared with the listeners just now, just before you came on, is how you look at things about from the perspective of, in a real-life situation, happiness is always felt by the heart rather than the thought of the mind. And although we choose to be happy, ultimately we still need to feel happy. And
well,
that's really cool.
As you said in your book, too, health makes all things possible, wealth makes all things work, and love makes all things beautiful. So,
that's beautiful. I'm so glad you remember that. I can't believe that. Wow. You know, my sister gave me that, you know, that she wrote to me. Yeah,
well,
she, yeah.
And you think about it. Now, those health and wealth are important, but love makes all things beautiful.
Yeah,
and
I mean, I agree
so
with that.
So many things in this world that we can love. It's just wonderful to think about that.
No, it's fascinating. She gave me she's really cool. It's kind of really interesting because we talk quite a bit every so often. But I usually talk to my mom most of the time because my sister is at work when I call back home to Malaysia, and but New Year's she always sends me something really cool, and so she sent me that little phrase about a couple of years ago, and so I thought it was really cool, and I asked her. I said, you know, hey, can I use that in my book? And she says, sure. She said that, you know, do whatever you want, and you're right, because and I enjoy it very, very much, and because it does say right here, health makes it makes all things possible, wealth makes all things work, love makes all things beautiful, and I just add a little touch to it and say, may you have all three in your life, because we don't always have that, but we hope to have all of that.
Absolutely, so we. You know, I wanted to tell you, last Saturday they had downtown here, Hammond is an old town, and we've had renovation of so many of the old buildings here, and the Hammond Garden Club opened for viewing some of those places that had been renovated.
Mm-hmm.
And my goodness, having been here so long, I was thinking of the changes that took place. These are the all upstairs, though, and I had a little difficulty with seeing everything that I wanted to see. But if it's miraculous what they've gone in there and done. And, you know, also, I told you about the wonderful theater here. There's a renovation. They even have the Philharmonics that come three or four times a year.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Yeah.
Beautiful theater. And we had a special tour of that to show what had been taken and what buildings had been covered. And it's like your book. It's wonderful to go back and visit some of these things that we knew before, you know, and to see what changes. And, you know, I met so many acquaintances, people that I hadn't seen for so long.
Yeah.
And so many of the hostesses from the Garden Club were there, you know. And, of course, people remember me because of my previous work. And
Right.
They we just don't get to see each other anymore, and that's kind of a little bit sad, too, because that's not always good when we can't keep in touch with everybody.
Right.
But that's life, too. It changes, so it's like my mama's kitchen. There's so many things that can change and go about.
Well, you know, I enjoy writing this book. I really did. At first I thought about, well, you know that I actually started working on this book. It was by accident that because of my first thought was to put together a cookbook about my mom's recipe, you know, my mom, whom you met.
Johnny, I have told you time and time again, you know so many good Chinese dishes that are so flavored and so good.
Yeah,
and I overextend myself when I go because I remember one time when your mother came, and then you and she put a big dinner together and invited quite a few of us. Man, I went home so full of food that day. It was so good.
Oh, it was a pleasure doing that. It was really good. She enjoyed cooking, and she enjoys doing that. And I actually learned all that stuff when she came here to the United States, because before when I was home, I never cooked at all in Malaysia. And when I came here out of necessity, wanting to feed myself and of course, eating the Malaysian dishes and whatnot, and that's when I started learning, you know, hey, Mom, you know, I need to get some recipes from you. I need to get some spices so that I can have a little touch of the Nyonya cooking here in Baton Rouge, well, back then in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And then before you know it, I just started enjoying cooking, and whenever she comes over to visit and, you know, stay with me for about 5-6 months or so, we sort of really communicated very well in the kitchen, to my surprise. And it was a wonderful feeling because it was a humbling experience writing this book, having the opportunity to talk to so many of you guys. And I think it just changes the dynamics tremendously. And so, you know, I feel really good about that. And some of the recipes that, you know, that I have, I actually have 5 of your recipes over the years that I thought that makes a big difference in my life, and I believe that it always applies to everyone else also. And one of the ones that I want to share with someone here is something that you mentioned something about in recipe number 8, which is which I titled The Art of Being a Good Listener. And for you to have, actually, like I mentioned before, you know, I have 5 of your recipes in here out of 30 recipes that I have in the book.
But let me tell you, if you don't listen, you don't know what that person's saying.
Right.
You can't sympathize with them.
Right,
You've got to listen as well as just hear. You've got to be listening.
No, I like the way you said it because it's, you know, when we were talking and you mentioned to me at that time where when we listen to someone, listen to learn and do not listen in anticipation to reply. And I thought it was really cool. because you really give that person all the attention that they need to express themselves.
Well, if you're willing to sit down and have an indulge in a conversation with something, it shouldn't be just your thoughts. It should be the thoughts of both of you. And unless you're going to listen to that person, how do you have a good conversation with them?
That's right.
No.
Yeah. It makes a big difference. And I know over the years you have been there for me, and I really appreciate that, because I think and the easiness of me to talk with you, I think that was a tremendous appeal. And over the years where, you know, I mean, we all have our ups and downs in life, and we just sometimes need to sound off.
Well, I think sometimes your downs have been good, because you could talk about it with me, and that helped you bring you back up again.
That's correct. And I appreciate that. And that brings us to recipe number 9 that I wanted to share with everyone too. It's called annual rebirth. And what's interesting about annual rebirth is that, you know, in every one of us, once a year we take, and this is something that I've learned from different moms, about taking inventory about ourselves. Some of us do it during while we celebrate our birthday. Some of us do it, what they call it, the New Year's resolution. But based on what you told me, which is very interesting, is that, you know, we are the author of our thoughts and our life. And if we are to receive and be showered with good things and favors in life, we need to be having positive thoughts throughout our daily lives, which I think that's very, very interesting, because we set the stage, actually.
Well, you know, my thoughts like that, my Father in heaven didn't make me to be superior or inferior. He created me to be unique and to fulfill his purpose for my life. So nothing pays off better than having a relationship with our Father in heaven. I mean, if you keep along those thoughts and, you know, good thoughts about people, then that's what you work for.
Right.
What are you working for? See?
Right.
What are you working for?
Right. No, it makes a big difference. And I have to tell you this, too, on the air, which is really cool, because in the years that I've known you, and again, I label you as my progressive and spiritual mom, and you being 91 years old, you have never, and I say this like, say, it's my own personal opinion. I don't know about people who listen to us, but what I felt very comfortable is that, you know, I've always been very spiritual, but one thing was fascinating that you have never thrown so-called religion at me, which was very, very interesting. And you talked to me about life and everything else. And I actually want to thank you very much for supporting me where, you know, when I became a Catholic last year. So that was very nice of you.
I told you, as long, you know, I didn't approve, but then I wasn't Catholic. So that was what you chose.
Right.
And that was what you were going to practice. And as long as you practiced studying and worshiping the Lord, then that's good.
Right. And so, that was something very interesting, because I know how you feel about, you know, like say being affiliated with just understanding, you know, that we all have one God, and that's the most important thing. And what we can do for each other is to be there and be the support for the other person. And I thought that was fascinating. And that's one of the reasons why I think over the years, our relationship actually got better, because I was able to talk to you, and you have this very open mind about not imposing your ideology or your thought process on others, where you are there just openly, truly listening, and then offering your advice, which was really fascinating.
Sure, and wisdom will always come to us if we put into practice the true things we absorb daily. I've always prayed for wisdom and my choices to be wise ones.
Right.
So that's what we'll say. And, you know, as you say in your book, that's what should be. And keeping in touch with the Lord and the one Lord is certainly what would give us wisdom.
That's fascinating. You know, my mom, I think I shared with you about what my mom told me, too, because what's interesting, when I call home and talk to my mom, Nya, in Malaysia, and I told her, because I was raised a Buddhist, and pretty much, I guess, I'm still a Buddhist at heart, and she was very, very, very encouraging. It was surprising. And well, you met my mom, and you know how she is, and
yeah.
She's, you know, she's a people person. She just connects with everyone, and so that was fascinating when she was able to, you know, to say, okay, Johnny, you know, whatever you feel, as long as, and that brought back to. And I think you've read it in my book where I said, you know, my mom believes in the fact that it doesn't matter what you do in life, but always remember that there's someone of higher power than you that makes everything possible. And when it's all said and done, you know, that's spiritual grounding, being able to realize that and accept that. And then that brings me also to the answers all around us in recipe number 10, where I thought was very interesting that I remembered you telling me that true love and true friendship lasts a lifetime, because it's quite fascinating on how we met at the business function. And certainly there's no need for us to, you know, to keep on being in touch over the years, but we somehow got connected and just stayed in contact. And right here, which says, if we truly pay attention to people we meet and that the people will come into our lives, there's a reason for it. And some people come into our life for a short stay, some stay for a season, and some stay for a lifetime. And
well, you know, there isn't a time
mm-hmm.
when I go by the Waffle House that I
mm-hmm.
don't think of that. Because, I mean, that was so prominent in your life the first time. After
yes.
you got out of college, you know.
Yes.
So.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But there again, you progressed in that, and
yeah.
you put a good bit of time in it, and had some direction. I think
mm-hmm.
at that time maybe you didn't realize the Lord was directing you, but He was.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, you keep talking about my. About my cake, about my pound cake.
Yes, yes,
and
I sure did.
Me
yes.
about that.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
There's some other things I remember that we always enjoyed so much. We make something we call lost bread, LOSBREAD.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember through the years, and I'd always ask, Mama, how did you make it so sweet and so good?
Mm-hmm.
But it was a concoction that we put together with eggs and milk and vanilla
mm-hmm.
and some
mm-hmm.
sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And then you dip the bread in it and then fried the bread. I guess a lot of people know about lost bread because it's such a wonderful breakfast dish.
Mm-hmm.
And I know my family remembers all the time that when they wanted something special for breakfast, make lost bread. You know?
Hey, I still love my pound cake, though. It's funny because when I included the 9 recipes I've chosen to put in my book as a caveat, and I put your pound cake because I thought that was something special, because I remembered you make the pound cake for me, and every time you would ask me, you know, what I wanted for, you wanted to make something, I guess, more elaborate or more, more stuff or whatever you want to call it. And I always ended up, you know, choosing no. Pound cake is good for me. I love it. And if you recall, we actually add extra butter in it to kind
of
jazz it up a little bit.
It wasn't too sweet either, Johnny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was it was tasty but not too sweet. So.
That's right. I love the buttery taste.
Uh-huh.
And I thought that was really wonderful.
We had in my household too. We
mm-hmm.
had a way. I never fried the chicken that we had in
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
in my household. Steve always did that,
mm-hmm.
and he
mm-hmm.
would. He had a way of putting all of these seasonings in a bag, and then putting the chicken in there and shaking it all,
mm-hmm.
and getting all that good seasoning all over, and
mm-hmm.
then frying it. And
mm-hmm.
I remember all through the years. When we had fried chicken, well, that was his job. he was selected to do that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's funny how you get into habits and.
It's true though. I mean, I know that you spent a long time there. You guys were dairy farmers. And so suddenly the life has changed from a standpoint of, you know, having to get up in the morning and you know, with the cows and everything. And
But I couldn't handle a cow now, Justin. not now, I'm telling you. Not the way they push you around and fling their tails in your face and so forth. But it was enjoyable at the time. So, mm-hmm. you know, so that was a phase of my life that when I was younger. And mm-hmm. it didn't bother me. It did bother me because I came to the country to be a country lady.
There you go.
And I wound up doing the manual work too. So,
well, you grew up in New Orleans, so
sure.
Yeah. So it's a big difference.
Never, in fact, I hadn't even touched a cow much until I came up here.
It was quite, but you see,
I knew it was a cow, uh-huh. you know, but I didn't know all the details of the cows.
No.
So, and it was a very interesting thing. Of course, there was a lot of hard work connected with
mm-hmm.
it. That's
mm-hmm.
the only thing.
But you enjoyed it. But well, I think what I guess I'm alluding to is the fascination. You know, sometimes we don't realize the process in life that we go through, because actually in my situation, for example, I mean, I was in the restaurant business, right, to say, right after college for so long, and then I started my business in Dallas at the Rayner Collection, dealing with architectural antiques and custom-made water features and so forth. And then now I'm evolving into an author, talk show host, and trying to bring motherly love to center stage. Now, if you were to ask me, say, my God, I mean, even say, you know, 10 years ago or so, you're going to write a book.
You would have denied that you'd ever try to do anything like this.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And so I think it's quite fascinating where you just, but if you let yourself go, then you find that you spiritually moved to where you need to be. And you find that it's at ease. You know, it's very, even though it was difficult, it was challenging, but inside it was peaceful. And I felt that about the things that I've done, it was kind of interesting, because it's not something that you're nervous about.
Well, I've had a very interesting life and have just been really blessed in this time. Except, you know, you start to break down when you get
mm-hmm.
a
mm-hmm.
little bit older, and
yeah.
that's one of the things I'm living through now. But I'm still going.
No, you're still strong. I tell you, it's fascinating, because every so often I would call and check in with you, and it feels wonderful to hear your voice, and you have your own little funny way about saying things. Well, okay, I'm breathing today.
Yeah.
And I'm able to move around.
Well, it's, you know, I reflect on what's happening, what has
mm-hmm.
happened with my family, or
mm-hmm.
not
mm-hmm.
just my family, because I've lost most of my family, my brothers,
mm-hmm.
but through the years, and several of my friends that were very close are gone too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the Lord's got me here for a purpose, so I
right.
guess I'll live it out and see what it is.
No, I think it's
maybe
fascinating.
Maybe it's to talk on a program like you interviewed.
No, I appreciate that. I know how apprehensive you were in the beginning, and I appreciate you coming on the air, because these are the little things that I was telling you about that you never thought about at that time in your life where, wow, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And that's something, you know, one thing that I've always appreciated of you, where you never afraid to try something new and different. And my
yeah.
mom in Malaysia is like that too, and she's never afraid to try something new and different. I think you were there at the party, one of the parties that we have. I remember one of my friends brought like a motorcycle with a little hood.
Oh my goodness!
You
yes.
remember that?
I do remember that.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah.
But it was special made.
That's right. It
was
a custom made motorcycle
yeah.
that
a
have this little.
And
yeah,
it
has a little bubble on the side or something.
Yeah. It wasn't just that she sat there and held on to him. There was a special seat there in the back.
That's right.
That,
that's
that
right.
That she was sitting in and could be comfortable.
Yeah, and
so,
she was, and I'm looking at, you know, I say, oh, my God, I can't believe this. My 70-something-year-old mom.
Yeah.
You know, is on a motorcycle with a friend of mine, and you know, I guess zooming around in the neighborhood, you know. So that was funny because if you recall that, everybody had a great time with that.
I did sit on it, but I didn't get to ride it, you know.
Right,
but
right.
It was different than anybody else's motorcycle, too, because it had that double seat in it, you know.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, I'm thinking, too, about the beautiful home you had in Baton Rouge.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. It was decorated nicely. And particularly what I liked was your yard with the fountain.
Oh, the water garden that I had, the koi pond.
Yeah. Oh, man, yeah. I was something I had wanted but never did get at my house. So.
No, but you had a beautiful house, though. You know, before, I always enjoyed being in the garden with you because it was something very nice. You took care of it very well.
I liked living like that. So that was why it was as good as it was. So.
But, you know, my mom enjoyed that because she likes gardening and everything else. So one of the things so when she comes over, got to keep her occupied for about 5-6 months or so. And so she enjoys that. She enjoys feeding the koi fish and taking care of the flowers and so forth. I know that every morning she'll go out there and get all the gardenias into the house and she'll set things up. And in all actuality, what's fascinating about it is that she knew my neighbors more than I knew my neighbors.
Oh, well,
you know,
she
because
was
they would
there.
Come over.
She
yeah.
was looking for things to do. It was
yeah.
just a shame that she didn't speak better English than she
yeah.
did.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
but they were communicating, though. I'm telling you, it was funny because, like, I'm imagining how people were communicating. I mean, you know, you don't necessarily have to speak the language, but then if you're able to, and this is coming back with the human factor. I think if you come across as being wanting to love someone and be loved, it's just a natural energy that you radiate out there that makes a big difference. And so it was quite fascinating where, you know, they were actually missing her when she left to go home to Malaysia.
Uh-huh.
So that was interesting. Of course, she enjoyed, and they actually cooked for her, let her try different dishes. And she had cooked some things, different Malaysian cookies and stuff like that for them.
The Malaysian food is so good, and it's always seasoned so nicely. Of course,
right.
I think once or twice it was kind of spicy, but I remember you made some wonton soup one time.
That's correct, yeah.
Oh,
yeah, homemade wonton.
This was the kind of soup, though, that you put the meat in.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
in the little gadgets and cooked. And
yeah.
one time when I ate it, I had to have a spoonful of soup and then drink water afterwards because it was so spicy. But good, good, good.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it because it was something different. And I enjoyed doing that because it was kind of fun. And you guys all bring desserts and stuff like that because I don't enjoy eating. I mean, I enjoy eating desserts, but I don't enjoy making them.
But then you don't eat a lot of that either.
Mm-mm,
you don't
mm-mm.
eat a lot of sweets. You never have indulged in a lot of sweets.
But I enjoy the camaraderie that came out of all everything and having the opportunity to meet everyone. And also, actually, you'll be seeing the two ladies, my other two moms, my German mom, Diane Heise, and also my Cajun mom, Ginger White, this coming Mother's Day, because we're going to be on TV in Baton Rouge for Mother's Day celebration that Sunday morning. So,
the other mother, Betty, is she and is she in Baton Rouge or is she in Dallas?
Which one you're talking
about? The one with the ballroom dancing.
She lives in Baton Rouge and she passed on about a couple years ago.
Oh, did she?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. You remember her because she was very personable and
well,
I
think one time someplace where I went with you, she was with us or we met her or something it's just nice to meet people.
Mm-hmm,
so.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I always enjoy when you come over here because when we go to eat at Trey Inn,
mm-hmm.
you always know the proper dishes to get. You don't get we don't get what I usually order when I go. We usually order what you want. and it's something different than, because I don't know how to order that, see.
Well, you want to jazz it up a little bit, but you end up enjoying it, so that's good, because I wanted you to try some, not necessarily authentic, but certainly different, away from the mainstream, so to speak. And
yeah.
So I'm kind of glad you enjoy that. It's
well.
It's something different, and but I'm glad that you still remember all that. And based on those you know, those trips, those conversations that we have, and that's what gave birth to the book. And one thing and actually I do want to thank you, because I know you've been doing a lot of work in terms of promoting my book with people that you know, and I thank you for that, because I really. This is all about word of mouth, getting the book out to people and letting everybody know where they're available,
well,
and so forth.
You know, you said in here the it's about motherly love and pays tribute to moms all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to put more emphasis on moms. And until you're a mother or a father, you cannot know all that goes into rearing children. It's just an ordeal. That's what it amounts to. So if we do the right thing, then we see good results from it.
Yeah.
So.
No, but it's true. I mean, I know you have one son, and he's doing very, very well, and then you have a bunch of grandchildren too. So and great grandchildren now, isn't it?
Yeah, great grandchildren.
Yeah, and they always say that you're better grandparents.
At this age, I'm supposed to have that. See, if I had an offspring, then I'm supposed to have some that are going down the line there.
So you enjoy being a great grandmother?
Huh?
Do you enjoy being a great grandmother?
Oh, of course. I keep in touch with those kids, and they enjoy getting mail from me and talking to me on the telephone. They think I'm quite, what do you say, not an old grandma. They call me Big Mama. So that was a name the grandchildren started with. And so the great-grandchildren have picked it up too, and that's what I am. I'm great. I'm Big Mama. I'm not grandma. I'm
fantastic.
Big Mama. Yeah.
I know they surprised you one year, last year, didn't they? They just show up, I think, for Christmas, isn't it? For Christmas? This year for Christmas, they surprised you.
It was last year, yeah, for Christmas.
Yeah, last year,
Right there. They came unexpectedly. And then, of course, when I had my 90th birthday, I had a hip, hip hooray of celebration. It was wonderful. Everybody was there. And that's something else. Now, they had arranged at this Chinese restaurant. We had a whole room that was for ourselves. And I bet you they served, must have served 20 different Chinese dishes. It was wonderful. And everybody just floored me so that everybody was there.
Yeah.
Because that I had to go to Missouri, but that's where everybody was closest. It was just a hilarious time, I'm telling you. It was just really wonderful. And
no, I think it's your positive energy that makes a difference, though. I think that's one of the things that when I first met you, I could clearly feel that aura of positive energy. That's you're just a very pleasant person to be around with, very positive, and just somehow there's a lot of love in you and just being very nurturing. And people don't realize that, because sometimes it's what you radiate out is what you're going to get back, and that comes back to some of the things that I wrote about you in the book, where we have to be mindful about what we put out there, what kind of energy that we put out there, because that's what eventually will roll back to us. And sometimes we don't pay attention to those kind of things. And I think in this case, it's a natural for you to do that, and you're very warm, very inviting, and
I think most of that, you see, would have rubbed off on me from my mother, because that's the type of person she was, and I loved her so very much, so that's what you do. You patting yourself after someone mm-hmm. that you love a lot.
Right, right.
And I did that, and oh my goodness, how she did strive to keep me satisfied in clothes, because I like clothes so much. But she was the one that did that. She mm-hmm. was an excellent seamstress,
mm-hmm.
And did things all the time, special things for me. And I can remember even when I was a small child
mm-hmm.
that if I saw something in a store, she mm-hmm. could duplicate it for like a third of what it cost.
Oh, wow,
you know,
yeah.
Because I'd just say, Mom, I saw such and such, and it had this on it and that. Oh, yeah, well, we can do that, she'd say.
Right.
And then she'd, and so I grew up living that kind of a life because,
mm-hmm.
and the
mm-hmm.
strangest thing, Johnny, when mm-hmm. she passed away, I found her when I went to check on her
mm-hmm.
On my way to work that morning.
Yeah.
She had died through the night. And in the closet, she had a three-piece suit put together, waiting
mm-hmm.
to try it on for my Easter gift.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I was, because she didn't tell me she was doing it, see.
Right.
And when I saw what it was a three-piece navy blue suit that she had put aside.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's so much more than My Mama's Kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
What
mm-hmm.
you've got in your book says so much more than just cooking. So I
mm-hmm.
guess when I told you that you should write a recipe book, I guess maybe this was better. Because
right.
you pulled out so many things in this book other than with just a few recipes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And maybe this is what we need to know in life about
right.
these
right.
things that are good that we can remember.
Mm-hmm.
So...
No, it makes a big difference. I thank you for summarizing it. I couldn't do it any better. And that's what happens, because when I sat down in April of 2007 and just thought, you know, like, okay, it's time to write this book, and I honestly felt I was spiritually driven to finish it in 7 months. And it's quite fascinating that I was able to write on a daily basis for a couple hours a day and just penning it down. And, of course, you never write a book from beginning to end. You know, you just sort of like write bits and pieces, and then you sort of reconstruct it all over again. But the common denominator that came out of the whole thing was motherly love. And that's something that I experienced that with all, in each and every one of my mom and with you, and every moment is a special moment for me, because, and I summarize it in the back of the book, what I've learned from my 9 moms, respect the past, because it is a classroom for lessons learned. Be prepared for the future, because it is my destiny. Always live in the now, because every moment is a memorable experience. And that's what I've gathered and that I have experienced with you in so many ways, in the things that we talk about and over the years, and even right now, just now, what we have covered. It's fascinating. It's beautiful. We're coming pretty close to the end of the show, but I do want to give you an opportunity to share with us again the recipe for living. We're getting to the dessert segment of our show here, Ms. Elsa. If you would, I know you had mentioned a little bit about that in the beginning of the show, so if you wouldn't mind just telling us again the recipe for living that you would like to share with us one more time, please.
Well, I forgot. Just wait, let me see. I don't know.
It's something about the Lord made us...
Well, something... You've written something about we cannot create order without creating disorder elsewhere.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you wanted me to share that with everyone?
Yeah.
You want me to
living
do that?
Too much to the right or to the left of
right.
life spectrum will eventually result in an unbalanced and an unhealthy lifestyle.
That's correct, yeah.
So as long as we keep our eyes on the Lord and know that He is the thing and He's the one that directs all of this, this is what we should live for. And to praise My Mama's Kitchen.
I thank you. It's always enjoyable talking to you, and I'm really happy that you're online with me, on the air actually with me this morning, and it's just wonderful. And it really energizes me. It really makes me do what I'm doing, and it makes it worthwhile to do what I'm doing. And that's what I enjoy very, very much. And you're welcome to stay on the line right here just to as I wrap up this show real quick in the last 5 minutes right here. For those of you who just joined us, welcome to From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio Show. My name is Johnny Tan. We've been talking to my progressive and spiritual mom, Elsa Mae Stevens from Hammond, Louisiana. And she is joining us. She joined us this morning and to talk about some of the recipes that I've gathered from her, recipes for living that I have in my book. And for those of you who are looking to buy the book, you can buy them online through BarnesandNoble.com and Amazon.com, and you can also go through JohnnyTan.com and FromMyMamasKitchen.com to get to Barnes & Noble and Amazon. And just to kind of wrap up things, I want to thank you again for all of you to listen to our show this morning, and we're getting to the, so to speak, the washing the dishes segment, and I do want to thank my mom, Elsa Mae, for being on the air with us this morning. And I do want to let you guys know some upcoming shows that's coming up in the weeks to come. Next week, I will be having my Texan earthly mom, Therese Rose, will be joining us. And the week after that, on April the 14th, my Cajun mom, Ginger White, will be on the air with us. And on April the 21st, my German mom, Diane Heise, will be joining us to talk about her recipes in the book. And for those of you who want to join us on the air, please call 347-327-9995. And during the show, or if you like to be a part of the show, or like to be on the air with me as a guest, please email host at FromMyMamasKitchenTalkRadio.com. That's host at FMMKTalkRadio.com. And I'll be more than happy to talk to you about being a special guest. And I do want to quickly run down some of the other events that we're going to be going on, that we'll be having for the book From My Mama's Kitchen. On Saturday, May the 2nd, I will be at the Barnes & Noble in South Lake Town Square, South Lake, Texas, for a book signing, meet and greet. On Thursday, May the 7th, I'll be on the air on Good Morning Texas AM radio talk show. I will be in Leveland, Texas at 8:50 in the morning. And then that evening at 6:30 to 8:30 p.m., I will be at the Barnes & Noble in Lubbock, Texas. And then on Sunday, May the 10th, Mother's Day, I will be in Baton Rouge, Louisiana at 7:50 in the morning on this morning weekend TV show on WAFB with Kelly Hennessy, and I will be having my three moms in Louisiana joining me, and Elsa Mae is one of them, and then I also have Diane Heise, my German mom, will be with me, and also my Cajun mom, Ginger White, will be joining me that morning. And then on Saturday, May the 16th, at 1 to 2, from 1 to 2 o'clock that afternoon, I will be at the Barnes & Noble at the park in Arlington, Texas, for a book signing, meet and greet. And so far, that's what we have coming up in next
Johnny,
month or so.
Johnny, I love you, and I wish you pleasant love, and love you always. Goodbye.
Thank you so much for being on the air. Thank you, Ms. Elsa. Take care. And for those of you who are still on, thank you again for listening to the show, and I hope you guys have enjoyed the conversation I have with my progressive spiritual mom. And once again, before we get off the air, I do want to share with you her parting thoughts with regards to her recipe for living. It says here, "We live in a closed system. We cannot create order without creating disorder elsewhere. Living too much to the right or to the left of life spectrum will eventually result in an unbalanced and unhealthy life." And I hope you guys have enjoyed this morning's show. And thank you again for listening. And I do hope you guys will join us next week when I'll have my Texan earthly mom, Therese Rose, on the air with us to talk about her recipes for living. And for those of you, once again, who would like to join us on the air, please call 347-327-9995 during the show to be on the air with us. And for those of you who just joined us who have missed the pretty much the whole show, you can always download this show and on your iPod and listen to archives by going to johnnytan.com from mymamaskitchen.com, and also just coming back here to the blocktalkradio.com to check us out. Thank you again, and goodbye.